Welcome to In-Game Chat for Thursday, the 12th of March, 2009. Huh? Friday the 13th.
The 13th.
2 months in a row!
Right. Is that really true? I just repeated what you said without really knowing.
Oh, yeah.
That's weird.
February...
How come I haven't read that somewhere?
Yeah, because of the way February was this year, not being a leap year, it in March started on the same day, a Sunday. And any month that starts on a Sunday will have a Friday the 13th.
Good for you.
Little factoid, kids. Any month that starts on a Sunday will have a Friday the 13th. So there you go.
That's really cool.
Look it up.
And should therefore be required to have a Resident Evil release.
True. Very true. Yeah.
A creepy one, though. A good creepy one. Not one that takes place in the middle of the sunshine with, you know, just like some guys.
Is it
what's going on in this one.
Does the creepy factor go away when it's co-op?
No.
Okay.
You know this to not be true.
Well, no, not necessarily. Because I haven't played Resident Evil 5. But Condemned is not a co-op game. Condemned is just, you know, you sit there and play and we watch.
We have played totally it different. As co-op as it can be made to be.
Yeah.
We've hot swapped the controller. We've had a room full of people working to solve.
I don't play much
mysteries.
Of it when it gets in my hands. So. Yeah. I come up with an excuse like, I gotta go to the bathroom. You guys wait.
The thing where you're zooming in on the dead guy in the locker, like, and you got 8 people in the room, it doesn't matter. When he starts spazzing out and coming back to life, like, the 8 people just pissed themselves. That's just how it is.
Oh, it was good. It was good.
So, no, I think the creep is easily maintained if the creep is there at all to begin with, which I think is not the case in this Resident Evil. I'm already, you know, I'm looking at some of the reviews. As we said, it's Thursday, the day before the game actually releases. Depending on your location and, you know, where your pre-order dollars may or may not have been spent, you should be able to get the game in a matter of hours from when we're recording.
Yeah.
But it seems... Well, it's inconsistent. The reviews are pretty inconsistent. They're pretty wild.
Sounds like Watchmen reviews.
Some fairly... seriously, some fairly high, some fairly low. And, you know, honestly, like Watchmen reviews, it could have an awful lot to do with your... with time spent with source material.
Right.
Or at least prequel material or whatever. I already know that I intend to play it co-op. Like, we want to play it. It does have that split screen variant, which is basically the two offset inset screens. It's not split screen. It is the top left, bottom right screen thing, so that each player maintains the aspect ratio that they really need for the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's not the 16:9 or 10. It's like that slightly elongated, irregular aspect ratio.
Yeah.
But it means that it's a stack, you know, but not a top bottom stack. I don't know what the right word for that is, but I have seen that. I have seen that running, just for proof that, indeed, you can local co-op this game.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can, which is how we plan to do it. There will probably also be alcohol, many couch assistants, and preferably one of those big things with the cheese balls.
I'll have to go get some, yeah.
Those are always good.
Those were great.
Those really helped us through Condemned.
What do we have? We had cheese balls. Yeah. It was great.
I don't know why, man, but the cheese balls were a hell of a sucker.
It was like I was...
to deal with, like...
Yeah. We'd pass the bin around. It was a big-ass thing of cheese balls.
Right.
We're talking, you know...
Yeah, it was big. It was
a keg of cheese balls.
Yeah, it was a keg of cheese balls.
and James, since he was the main player, had to keep a towel.
Right.
So that I'm like, don't get your orange shit on my controller.
I wouldn't do it. So I kept a bar towel on my knee or something.
Yeah. We had to pause the game. You'd hear him crunch, crunch, crunch.
Yep.
You know, slap the pants and stuff to get the Cheetos off and then continue playing. A lot of fun. So
hopefully
we'll probably
do it the same
way
this time. We need to find some more people that are willing to come participate.
So, yeah, welcome to the show. It's the official podcast at colonyofgamers.com. You can check us out there at our forums at colonyofgamers.com, or you can go over to ingamechat.net, see us over there, and you can always email us, everyone at ingamechat.net, and we will get to your emails. We do an episode every now and again where we read the emails. No matter how far back we got to go, we always come back to the emails that you've sent us over time. So please send them in. And I got a lot of feedback from our last show, people giving us their ideas of what they wanted in arcade things.
That was not our last show.
Well, no. Our last show that was a regular type of...
Right, yeah. Where we didn't, like, have someone come in and basically be far more interesting than we ever are.
Seriously.
Thanks, Nolan.
But yeah, we got a lot of feedback on that, so thanks. And we're getting a lot of feedback from our Nolan North episode that just went up today, actually. So thanks for listening. So yeah, going into what we played. It's been a while. The Nolan North thing kind of came up on us pretty quick, actually. The day before, the Monday before we recorded that episode, he agreed to do it on the very next day. And so it was like, okay, whatever we're going to talk about, fuck it. We got Nolan North. And so now that it's Thursday, you got to get back to business. It's like going back to work. You got to get down to business. We like this kind of work, though. So it's what we played this weekend. I want to touch up on Jeremy real quick before me and James get into it, because we actually played some co-op stuff together. But, Jeremy, what have you been playing since our last show?
Not a lot, but I did finally play Nobi Nobi Boy.
That's what I was getting at, really. I didn't really care whatever else you said. I was just going to say, wait, you played Nobi Nobi Boy, didn't you?
And yeah, you totally owe me $5 now, because, man, it's not a game. What you should have just said is that it's not a game. It's just this, you know, little toy to play with, because there is no objective to it.
I said a lot of things about that thing. That's a very hard to describe thing. Yeah. It's like what is it? Well, it's this, you know, obviously don't call it a game, but it's this download.
Yeah, I mean, it's
and
just
you stretch this guy. That's about it.
It's just it randomly generates an environment for you to dick around in and eat shit and poop it out and and stretch him and not stretch him and yeah, that's about
it. Did you
visit
girl?
Yeah, I saw like the girl thing. Like when I first loaded up, it does the whole girl's gotten to the moon. I'm like, okay, so. And but you are limited to how far you can stretch. That you can only stretch like so far based on how big the environment you're in is. And the stretching's just all cumulative. You know, you stretch him and report it, and you stretch him and report it. Stretch him, go to another area, report it. There's nothing. You know, that's how girl gets bigger.
Well, I think I got $5 here. In fact, I do. There you go.
Thank you.
You just got $5.
I can get something worth playing. Yeah, I mean, there is absolutely no objective to it. It's just a little sandbox to play in.
That's not worth $5?
Wasn't worth my $5.
No. I was going to say, if you change your mind, give me that $5 back.
No, I'm not firing that up again. And apparently the whole thing is, like, as she gets to, you know, different planets, it unlocks different little things to randomly generate.
Yeah.
All right. And I can eat them and poop them out. That's great.
Can eat up and poop them out. Well, there you go.
But other than that, I rented a U-Haul and went up and got my old Miss Pac-Man machine out of storage.
Yeah.
My folks used to have when I was a kid. Hauled it home, got it inside and cleaned up and fired it up, and it was great. And I played for about 20 minutes and then the sound died. So I've decided I kill sound on arcade games.
I'll come over and I'll do the sound effects for you.
Okay. That'll work.
It's not hard for a game like that. Beep, 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 wink, wink. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess. Is that how she dies in Miss Pac-Man? I know that's how Pac-Man dies, but anyway.
Close enough.
What else? Is that about it?
I played some Street Fighter 4 with Matt, you know, while he was down here. And we played some stuff at a little arcade in the bowling alley that we hadn't played before.
You want to know what kind of guy Matt is? People out there? Because you guys don't get to think about Matt very often because he's not really around. Let me tell you about Matt. Matt loves to play as Dan.
Yes. We had to unlock Dan.
Yeah, for Matt.
For Matt.
To be comfortable. Mm-hmm. I'm not just saying like he thinks it's a great joke. He does think it's a great joke, but seriously. Like he thinks it's the greatest joke ever made. That Dan. That's it. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter where it is. Doesn't matter any game. Anywhere where Dan has ever shown up. That's the ultimate punchline for him.
We played a lot of Dan versus Dan, and we played some me as Dan and him as either Ken or Ryu.
Right.
And he kept losing. So he just hit, you know, restart because he was determined he was going to beat me if I was Dan and he was Ken or Ryu.
Right.
And so, like,
Jesus Christ.
Finally, and I hope he doesn't listen to this.
That's all right,
I get the feeling he doesn't, like, based on some of the conversation we had, listen to this. But, yeah, finally I end up having to throw a fight so we could stop doing Dan versus Yeah. And, it was hard because I'm, like, jumping around trying to make it look like I'm moving around and shit and trying to attack him.
You had to take a dive.
He's trying to do the super move, and he can't pull it off. And he was so engrossed with trying to pull off the super move that his guy's just sitting there not doing anything. I could have beaten the shit out of him like a dozen times.
Oh, dude, it's exactly the same thing that leads him into the place where he won't answer me when I ask him if he's on the plateau.
Yeah.
Right? Are you on the plateau? Are you standing up? Are you on the plateau? Are you the guy standing up? If you're not the guy standing up, then the guy standing up is about to shoot me, and I have to shoot him. Are you standing up? Are you on the plateau? No. Bang.
Bam.
Hey, what happened? So, that's good.
But in case he does listen, like, and I guess just, you know, to,
hey, Matt.
Anybody familiar? Hey, Matt. He did legitimately beat me in plenty of other fights, like non-Ken Ryu Dan matches.
So. He doesn't care. He knows, you know.
All right.
He's got a good understanding of who he is. He's pretty, you know, he's pretty centered, I suppose, as much as a guy like Matt can be centered, but that's all right. Yeah. I always feel very much the same way, like, when Dave's around. Which, by the way, hey, Dave, I know eventually you'll get a recording of this over in the Greenland.
Yes. Duly.
Which, by the way, I'm really sorry about all that, you know. I'm just saying. They're apparently very mean to you up there.
Yeah. He doesn't like it.
Because it's the Greenland and whatever. But, like, Matt shows up, wants to play Dan. I feel exactly the same way when he does that I always feel when, like, you know, Dave shows up and wants to, you know, net camp as Bowser when we're
Mario
playing
tennis.
Mario Tennis.
Yeah.
I was like, well, God damn it. I thought this was a fun game. Thanks.
You found an exploit, you fucker. No, but hey, Dave. So anyway, yeah, no, that's what you played. I played, we played Halo Wars.
Where did we start? What were we doing? What happened? I'm trying to remember where we started at with, like, what we were playing. We're in the list of things. I know that, like, Halo Wars was a big deal for us.
He played Nobi Nobi Boy and then we're going to me.
Not,
what are you talking
Jesus
about?
Fucking Christ, Scott. I forget I said anything.
Okay, so we played Halo Wars.
Yeah, so we played Halo Wars. We played a bit of Halo Wars. Like, inadvertently. Like, we had not necessarily planned to do that, but, you know, I popped it in. I got another, like, I acquired another 360 while mine's away.
Yeah.
So I hooked it up because I really wanted to play some Halo Wars. We put that together and, you know, I just happened to both be online at the same time. It was like, well, let's see.
Yeah, I can't remember what time it was. It was pretty late.
It was really late. And we just thought, let's see how this works.
We started out as most people start out when it's a late night new game. They're like, I just want to see what it looks like.
Yeah.
You know, and then we said the same thing because we both started playing individually.
And I had played the first couple of campaign missions, first few, in single player.
Yeah.
Like, I was comfortable with it. But we just wanted to, we wanted to put the co-op a little bit to the test. We should point out that there is the Co-Optimus co-op review of Halo Wars is up. Please visit it. Look at what they have to say. Obviously, they're going to quantify things a little bit better than we.
Well, they only review the co-op sections of games.
No, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
We can basically talk about our experience with it, which was, I think flabbergasted is a pretty good term. I mean, not just that it was there.
There were a number of surprises going through that first little bit where we were just like, hey, is this happening to you? No. Oh, that's neat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to begin with, everybody gets the, I say everybody, it's limited to two players, but everybody gets cutscenes.
Yep.
I mean, that's a very easy thing to overlook, but it also has a really big impact on the nature of the experience. Back when we were playing Rainbow Six Vegas, you know, we would insist that everybody play through the game by themselves once before we co-opt because you were going to lose every bit of the exposition.
Mm-hmm.
You were going to spend that time sort of flying around in a helicopter, but you weren't going to have the voiceovers. You weren't going to have the back and forth with your handler. you weren't going to get any of the kind of what the terrorists were doing, and you completely lost a sense of what was going on.
Right.
You were just in a place shooting bad guys, which was fun, but it wasn't the complete experience. This was totally different. It's synced up to perfection.
Mm-hmm.
It's really brilliant. To the point where each person can individually choose to skip the cutscenes.
Yeah, and it won't affect the other player.
No, they just simply wait in a ready state for everybody else to finish.
Yeah.
For the other player to finish, I guess I should say. And then, you know, you started out, because you were the host, you started out with control of Forge.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Why did that switch at that? Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't really matter. I don't think. I think it was because of the units that you were given. But
yeah,
you know, there I was in a Warthog right next to you.
Different colors to differentiate.
Different colors. Yeah, you had the standard UNSC colors, and I had my team color.
Yeah.
But it was just good, you know. And at each checkpoint where we would each pick up, you know, a few more Marines, or a Warthog or something, you would get a couple. I would get a couple. We fooled around for a minute and realized that, hey, I can give you my units, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we ran through that whole first mission. We were like, it's really, like, easy. You know, it's really, okay, this is good, but let's see how it really works. And we get to the second mission where we start base building. And, you know, each person is able to access whatever, you know, whatever little subset of the base that the other person creates.
Yep.
And we just sort of fell into this pattern where you were out scouting for the secondary objectives. And yeah. I was basically back at the base.
Defending it, because they got attacked quick.
Because I was very aggressive in co-op. I was defending it and building. And so I would basically build stuff, transfer it to your command, and then you'd go out there and do various things. It was just very nice. It was just, it moved so perfectly in the way that you need it to when two people are together. It changed almost imperceptibly from the single player.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what co-op should be. You can divvy up the units however you choose. One person can operate the base while the other person does whatever. Even to the point where if you look on the mini-map and you see the little circle that represents your field of view...
Yeah, I didn't notice that until you pointed it out, because I was looking for that originally, but because we were in the same place and I was going all over, I was like, well, I see mine, but his obviously is not here.
But as we split up, we noticed that...
I can see exactly what part of the map.
I can see what you're looking at. Yeah. I can see where your little circle reticle thing is showing what you're looking at. So when I say, oh, hey, look what I found over here, you can just look up at the mini-map and see what my indicator is and like zoom right over there. It was just very smooth, man.
That's something that could easily have been forgotten, you know? Because they already threw in the co-op, so what's it matter? You know, let them figure it out. But it wasn't. It was thrown in there. And going back to the cutscenes, I have to say, God bless Ensemble. That was beautiful cutscenes. Really God damn, good. Those are good really cutscenes.
Yeah, we only got about half a dozen missions into the campaign. Maybe not, I think five.
Doesn't matter, but every time a cutscene would pop up, I was like... Where the fuck was this beauty in Halo 3?
Yeah.
You know?
Where you could have used a little bit more exposition.
Well, then there's that. Then there's the whole, hey, there's not just, you know, cake here.
Yeah.
there's a lot more for you to sink your teeth into.
It was good. And it was just, it worked perfectly.
It's got the timeline.
The timeline is also fun. The unlockable timeline also includes skulls.
That's all. Just think about this, folks. How much story did you get out of Halo 3?
Yeah.
Seriously. Or
I mean, the gameplay was solid. We liked it. Yeah, but it was totally. Just...
But we have always. You can go back to our shows. Then you can hear us complain about the fact that you get more. It's like Bungie doesn't know what they're doing with their game or with their franchise.
In a way, you could argue that they're poor stewards.
They expand that shit with plenty of backstory that you can discover, but they don't fill it in with the story that's going that's going on right there.
And I certainly I don't want to pass any final judgments on that, because I think we're far from a point where Halo is irrelevant. And I clearly they're taking a new direction with ODST.
Yeah.
So, you know, good. I mean, it's very obvious that something is happening there that'll be very interesting. But it's impressive. Ensemble's work is impressive. If you can't stand RTS, then that's okay if you can't like a game like this. But it's got some of the smoothest, most unobtrusive co-op that I really remember seeing. The simple act of this is the single player campaign. There's just one other human occupying the map.
Mm-hmm.
And when we finally got to a point where there was two hero units, it divvied things up accordingly. Spread the achievements around the way it should, the co-op achievements.
Totally.
The one on the bridge was hilarious.
Yes, yeah.
I had a sense. I didn't even know that was there, but I had a feeling. I had a gut feeling. I was like, get away from the bridge. Get away from the energy bridge.
Got all my guys off of there, had some enemies sitting on the bridge. And
turn it off, drop them, get an achievement.
Yeah.
Hooray!
And you had to drop a specific amount.
You had to drop like five.
Yes.
A minimum of five. That was a lot of fun.
And I don't think we were waiting for that minimum. We're just like, get off the bridge. Yeah. I'm going to turn it off. Those guys are still on there. We had, I believe, probably right at five that dropped off the
light
bridge.
It was a great little kind of a Temple of Doom moment.
Yeah, it was.
dropping all the thugs into the canyon, the gorge.
He no really nuts. Cool. He crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was great, and there's just a lot of love. The more I said this before, the more we discovered in that game that the
sadder Ensemble's passing became.
Yeah, really. The more mourning I had for their passing.
You know, and I really only I referenced this, and I can't remember where I saw the story, but speaking about their own, you know, there's a little story, a little blurb going around now that they were victims of their own success, that they think that part of one of the problems was that they had become the RTS guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need an RTS, let's go to these guys. Or what are these kind of guys going to do? Well, they're going to make an RTS. Well, that's... That there was something about that specialty that really limited their appeal, their ability to provide what they would have needed to stay alive, and that they hope to rectify that in their new form.
Yeah.
So, best of luck to them, because clearly, we all knew this from the past, but they're very capable of stepping even into someone else's backyard and doing a fantastic job of it.
Upstaging.
Yeah. In many ways, yes. I really wonder what they had, like, what would it have been like if it hadn't been an RTS? If they had simply been cut loose to make a first-person shooter.
Really?
You know? What if they basically just went toe-to-toe with Halo as it is? That would be interesting.
Yeah, it would.
But it was very good. It was really excellent. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of co-op floating around right now. We didn't get a chance to try it out.
I still haven't gotten a chance to try it out.
I played a bit of Hawks. I played, again, the first half dozen levels or so. And, man, if it isn't exactly what you think it is, it's, you know, Ubisoft makes Ace Combat 6.
Yeah. That's all it is. Single player, not too much fun right now.
I had fun with it. I knew exactly what it was. I enjoyed it for precisely what it was. So, but the thing I recognized was, rather than finding the option to play co-op underneath the multiplayer menu,
mm-hmm.
I noticed, like, I went into the campaign, and while in the campaign screen, it was like, here's your option to join or create a co-op game. And I thought, well, that's not quite what I was expecting. Maybe it is a full campaign available through co-op.
Right.
So
it is.
We didn't get a chance to try.
Well, it is the full campaign available through co-op. However, I haven't played it in co-op yet, and I really want to do that. And it's more than just you and a buddy. It's like you and three other buddies.
Yeah.
Can play co-op, or you and two other buddies. I'm not exactly sure.
I believe it's like four.
Yeah, but I think it's three or four. But yeah, you can co-op this whole thing. It's got multiplayer too.
Yes, it does.
And I haven't tried that.
Combat had adversarial multiplayer.
Yeah. But the co-op, I'd like to try on that as well. I'd like to give that a go and see how that plays.
The plan was to squeeze some of that in this week, but I think it's going to get. I think it's going to be upstaged by Resident Evil.
Yeah, totally.
Regardless of its reviews, but
gives us co-op.
It's going. Yeah. It gives you local co-op too.
Yeah, so, that it does.
We made that point, but there you go. That's going to be a big deal. But I just, you know, we really felt like we had to reiterate that Halo Wars was far better than we thought it was going to be.
Yeah, really. It really, really was. What else did you play? Because I know I played a lot this past, so what else have you played?
Oh, Jesus. Well, let me try to put my thoughts in order. I played a little bit of Resistance 2.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know that it's worth mentioning anymore when I play Day of Defeat, because it's become exactly what it always had been for me. You know? It's become... I think Day of Defeat is, for me, what little puzzle games are for a lot of other people. It's something that you just sort of do to sort of, you can, I can kind of disconnect myself from like real thought. There's obviously no story.
Mm-hmm.
I've played it enough to be familiar with just about every map. I know the game mechanics fairly well, and I can sort of let my lizard brain take over and just turn into like, you know, 250 pounds of like reflexes.
Right.
And just play the game and shoot some guys. And it's fun for me, and I can just completely disengage from all the other parts of me that like to play video games. I don't have to be active at all. You know, a little bit calisthenics, a little bit decompressing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that I've, for whatever reason, gotten more comfortable with that again, and I can play that. I picked up, you know, I'm having a real love affair lately with Steam's weekend deals. I passed on the UT3, and sort of regretted it. And was then happy to learn that there would be another...
They're doing it again.
Another free weekend, and it would remain cheap. So I might have to bite this weekend. But I did bite the $5 for World of Goo. Because holy shit, how could you not?
Yeah.
$5, like, seriously?
$5.
Dude, you throw something up there 75% off that's $5, like, I'm going to buy it. I had not played that game.
Yeah, there are sweet spots for you at video game pricing.
Something's at 10, something's
like
at 20.
10 is like a dream.
Yeah.
You know, 10 is like, oh, it's fucking $10. Okay, fine. It's $10. But when it drops down to 5...
5 is almost like, what's wrong with it? Does it smell?
Exactly. It's like, what? It's 5. I'm a little skeptical.
No, but I just had never been interested in that kind of thing, and it's still not something I play a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of game, but I was like, $5, and I've clearly heard too much about this from people, lots of people I respect.
Yeah, totally.
And I just hadn't gotten it, so okay, it would just be truly unfair for me to not
at $5
buy something at $5. If they want to continue this discount experiment thing, you know, and start pushing it a little more aggressively, like they seem to have been doing, sure. So I bit, and I stayed bit for like 8 hours or something. So that was really fun for me. That was a nice way to just sort of sit there and be like, this is what casual gaming is like. No wonder casual gaming prints money.
Fun. When it's $5. Yeah, totally.
So I enjoyed that a great deal. Played around with that a bit. And then Apocrypha went live on Tuesday. The EVE Online expansion.
EVE, okay, yeah.
So I have been, you know, and it's very interesting. We talk, of course, a lot about how EVE works, mostly because, like, I like talking to you guys about it because you don't play it.
Mm-hmm.
I know you have some familiarity with the nature of a standard MMO.
Mm-hmm.
All the ways that this differs from it is very interesting to me. You know, interesting in the same way that. You know, I like to talk about The Watchmen as a book and The Watchmen as a movie. See, they're different. That's what makes them good. You know, I'm sure a lot of people disagree with that idea, but
you'll
whatever.
You'll hear our shit on that later.
But that aside, it's like, no, that's why, like, this is neat that it's doing this thing over here, you know, because we've all played an MMO that had a major content update or an expansion pack.
Right.
Which these things sort of fit somewhere in between. And it's interesting to me that... you know, in a lot of ways, a lot of the new stuff in any MMO content update is more or less available right away. Maybe if it's a high-end raid dungeon, you're not going to go straight into it or something like that. But a whole lot of Apocrypha centers around exploration. That's the key feature in this. And it's things for big kids, things that I don't know how to do yet, things that I'm still not playing with people, and I'm really dragging my feet on that. And I understand that that's not good for my long-term viability, but it's things for other guys. And I love the way, you know, they release these new ships, and they've released Tech 3 Cruisers, which look like a totally swank way to play the game and really good answer to how certain things should work. But it's funny that at the fastest rate, it's going to be 2 weeks before you see any of this shit. Because, like, the guys have the blueprints, but they've got to get the materials, and they've got to go to dangerous places to get the materials, and they have to learn how to navigate and survive in these dangerous places, and then collect sufficient amounts of the materials, and then go back to their joint and make it, you know? So it takes a while for this stuff to sort of build momentum, and for the changes to populate the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Up to that time, you know, it's 900 people in the help channel being like, Zom, I'm stuck in 00 space. I went through a wormhole. What the fuck? You know? There you go. It's basically a whole bunch of I'm lost and I'm fucked. Meanwhile, I was just really, really happy playing around with all of the minor. They totally overhauled the sound system, the sound, their soundscape, I guess you could say, and made it much more subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of ways, I hadn't realized how garish and really upsetting a lot of their sound design was.
Yeah,
just sort of annoying. And they've gone much more subtle. They've pushed a lot of things a little further into the background.
Okay.
The first impression, of course, is that you've gone into software and muted all of your sounds a little bit, but that's not it. Everything's just trying to like sort of fold a little bit into the background. I like it, and it seems to be a little more consistent. They've consolidated their clients a little bit more because they were operating for a while with, you know, the original client and then a premium graphics client, yeah, a premium performance client.
Right.
They have now dropped the standard client. There is basically only, you know, like, I believe, like, there's basically only, like, the one new client. And they dropped, I believe, the Linux client.
Uh-huh.
And added the premium client options to the Mac.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I have all that right. I've been running premium content, obviously, for a while. But the you know, I get redonkulous frame rates in EVE. Really good performance overall, but there are always some nagging memory leaks and things, which seem to be completely gone now, which is very, very good for me. Like, it makes me really, really happy. The game overall is just a little bit more pleasant in every regard. They always seem to do that, you know? They're not overreaching. It's just every now and then something gets a little bit prettier. Something sounds a little bit nicer. And some key piece of usability becomes much less frustrating. They added skill queuing and things like this. And, you know, it doesn't seem like they're not really... They'll never just sort of heel over and totally change course and say, we want to get more subscribers, need more subscribers, that's it. So they don't neuter their game to the point where the entire expanse becomes something that a new player can get into. And it will always be the prettiest spreadsheet you've ever seen. That's simply what it's going to be. However, by inches... They increase the new player experience all the time. And it really does become something that I think that I would become more comfortable saying, you know, maybe this is something you, whoever it is I'm talking to, traditional MMO player, might enjoy being a part of.
Hmm.
It is the antithesis of most of the other MMO stuff. So whacking things with swords, having a dude that like hangs out in a city and dances, like, no, you're not going to do those things. You don't have a dude. You're a ship, you know? Like, you got to get over that. However, a lot of the frustrating mechanical aspects of an MMO are really quite perfect in this game. So, I think I'm just excited that I'm still excited about the game. You know? Like,
yeah,
like my excitement is sort of recursive, you know?
Right.
And I obviously don't mean to make it... Not that I didn't talk like this about Warcraft when I was playing it, but I'm just so happy for EVE. I'm happy that it's there. I'm happy that a thing with so few people and that is, you know, often suffers the sneer of being the most beautiful spreadsheet in the world can still provide so much for so many different people and still be considered a real forerunner in design. And not everything is there, and they don't seem to be in any real hurry to rush content necessarily. And for the most part, everything is stable and good. And it just excites me. It's real good. I enjoy it. I like being there. And at the moment, I'm sort of antsy because, like, I think I got skill training that's going to be up in about 6 hours, you know, and I'm going to roll that whole thing over, and it's very good. So I spent, I think I evaporated a whole day on that. I don't know. That's the only thing about it, is that it seems to accelerate real-world time at a far greater rate than even World of Warcraft did.
Yeah.
You know? Like, check around in the market and, like, go do a couple of missions and then do some salvaging and maybe a little bit of mining and then, like, what do you know, it's dark. It's good for that, or bad for that, as the case may be. I don't really know. And since then, what? What in the world has happened? I suppose that's where I was like really at since Tuesday, when mm-hmm. I launched that. I hadn't been too interested in playing anything else. But it was good for me. I felt like I had a nice broad... I always feel like a better person when I've played like a broad expanse of games.
Yeah.
If I've shot something in first person, preferably other humans, you know, played a little bit of something that's, you know, clearly too good for its own good, like World of Goo. And
right,
then, you know, mm-hmm. obsessively listen to its soundtrack over and over again in the car and pretend I'm playing it. You know, had like a really badass co-op experience.
Yep.
You know, and then wasted an entire day in an MMO. Somehow I come out of that feeling like a better guy.
Yeah.
At least more well-rounded. At least a more well-rounded waste of space. But
I played quite a lot. I played Matt Hazard.
Oh, yeah.
Eat Lead, The Return of Matt Hazard. Played that.
I wasn't kidding, was I? How many achievements before you've even finished the tutorial? Like 5, 6?
I have. Yeah, there's about 4... Starting the game gives you an achievement, which the only game I ever knew did that was the Simpsons game. But when you hit the game, it's like, hi, I'm Matt. Thanks for buying my game. Guess what, Matt? I didn't buy your game. I rented it.
But I'll take that achievement all the
But
same.
I'll take your 5 points. And you get 5 more points when you pause the game. So, not essentially, pressing start twice gets you 10 points. Gets you 10 achievement points in that game. Or trophy, I'm sure, on the PS3. It's got a very Hitman feel with the perspective, the third person, or the... Not even the third-person view, but that whole locked behind him at an angle type of thing.
Sure, over the shoulder.
Over the shoulder, yeah. Totally. It's got that feel to it, or that's how it plays. It's very tongue-in-cheek. It's very trying to be a very humorous thing. If you've just go and watch the intro of the game if you want to know what I'm talking about.
It's like ham-fisted satire.
Yes.
This is not highbrow.
Oh, no.
This is like Carrot Top level of thing, you know, with prop comedy and stuff. I mean, it's like really beating you over the head with,
yes.
like, these jokes are obvious and really hokey, you know, clowns with water spraying flowers, you know,
yeah.
their boot in your hole or something, like, whatever.
But that's what it was.
It doesn't make it bad, though.
I played through the first level.
I suppose that makes it good for some people.
I got an achievement for not dying. It's like, what did it say? It's like 600 bodies in that level, and yours wasn't one of them. Congratulations, achievement. Did that, and, you know, got like 20 headshots, and you win for that, and you get an achievement for that. So, you beat the tutorial, you get an achievement for that, that sort of thing. Beat the tutorial. You just have to go through it. I don't know if there's any beating involved. But yeah, the dialogue's pretty funny, and every now and again you'll run across a line where you're like, oh yeah, he is making fun of that. Yeah, that does happen a lot in other games when they bring that sort of thing up. So, essentially, I didn't have fun. I got done. I played it and went through the first level, went through a little bit of the second. And I was done. I was like, all right, this can go back. I've played it, and I don't really want to play anymore. So there you go. It'll drop down in price probably pretty quick, and, you know, might be something to look at later on, you know, in that $10 range when it hits that mark. But overall, I didn't like it. I did play the Prince of Persia DLC.
Yeah, you did. We haven't, and Jeremy and I haven't had a chance to play that
yeah.
yet.
Yeah. Would love for you guys to do that so we can talk about that.
Mind anyway.
Well, originally, I had just finished playing it when I talked to you on the phone. And you said, what is it? And I said, well, it doesn't advance the story any. That's not entirely true.
Okay.
It doesn't resolve the situation.
Okay.
It doesn't resolve anything. It does advance the story. But you are again left, you know, waiting for the eventual next game, or I don't know. I guess no more DLC.
That's sort of what I would have expected.
Yeah, I read Joystick's review of the DLC, and they said it's much harder. I mean, I found it hard to kind of get my angle on some of the, you know, like when you're wall running, you have this. I've never tested this because I have this initial instinct. Anytime my guy's doing something that may be automatic, I'm still pointing the thumbstick in that direction that he's supposed to go.
Yeah, me too.
Even though it's completely automatic.
Right.
So every now and again, because of my placement of where my thumb was at the time and the camera change, it would kind of throw me off a little bit. I retried a few parts over and over again, but for the most part, that was fine. I just had a lot more fun going through it. They said it was a lot harder, but I had a lot more fun. There's a new element that makes walls appear where they once were for a limited time that you can use to hop back and forth. One of those big buttons that, you know,
all right,
one of Elika's powers.
As long as it's not like flying through some more shit as long as I don't have to drive.
That's the thing. There is.
Do I have to drive?
Yeah, I almost forgot. The three that make their return are the red ones.
No. I don't mind. I'm not saying like it's a problem that those are there. I'm saying like as long as I don't have to drive the new one. As long as it doesn't amount to a third. She makes the wall come back, but somehow I have to steer to make that happen.
Yeah, no. You don't have to do that. The returning buttons are the red button, which, of course, was...
That was the easy
one. That was my favorite.
The easy button.
Because that's the easy button. That's exactly what it was. The red button returns. The blue button returns, which is not a problem either.
Which one was the blue one?
The
was
blue
that
button
the little
was...
little flying electric boogaloo thing?
Yeah, yeah. Right. The blue button was a lot like the red button. Just... I don't know, different.
You press it and it takes you over to the place. Yeah.
It takes you over to the next place. And usually you have to double jump at the end of that because she just kind of...
Oh, I see, yeah.
She just kind of throws you.
Very good.
Right. Yeah, and then you have to do another double jump to get to wherever you have to be. And the green button returns, which is the one that changes the level and then you have to steer him through. Yeah.
The running. That was a little... I liked that better than the fly.
I just didn't want that yellow button popping up at all.
It was better than the fly. It was still tough, but at least like... When
it was
took
because you could never see where you were going. Yeah. I was like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's happening. Left. I don't know what's happening. Right. Okay. You know, I felt like I was doing like light cycles or something.
With the flying, I might retry that shit three times and still not be exactly sure which direction I'm supposed to bob or weave in.
It fakes you out a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like juking and being like, seriously? Yeah. Did you need to make me think I was going that way so that I tried to go up over the thing and then smacked my noodle into the wall?
Yeah.
Like, was that entirely necessary? Thank you, Elika.
The worst bit of that were some of the orbs that you could only collect by smacking your face into a wall while flying.
Yeah.
No orbs. There are what they call frescoes.
Frescoes?
Yes, frescoes. There are those to find. Those are just like, hey, you found one. Here you go. You know, doesn't add anything. You don't have to collect them in order to unlock anything.
It makes sense story-wise that there's no more orbs.
Yeah, no more orbs you have to deal with. None. Okay. There is the dialogue between the prince and her.
That's what I'm most looking forward to hearing.
Yeah, you're smashing that left trigger.
All right.
Listening to dialogue. There's nothing like the amount of course that we had.
Was that a satisfactory exchange for you?
It was because that's where you get your story. Yeah.
Okay.
That's where you get your story. There was a...
No, I mean, the actual story was the exchange between the prince and Elika.
Yeah. I mean, that's the reason I kept doing that. I wasn't actually looking for the I spy something that starts with a letter C.
Right.
Or whatever the case. And none of that's in there. About the only really cool one was I'd get saved by Elika, and he's like, oh, I'm still glad you're doing that. You know, as a reference. So, yeah, that was pretty much it. And, there's bosses again. There are fights.
New bosses? Old bosses?
Old bosses with new abilities.
Huh.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm going to explain that. So, you meet the general again. Remember Stone guy, the Stone boss?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. He shows up, and then I thought, well, shit, this is the... Okay, I know how to beat him. It's all environment.
Because
I can't do any damage to him. And so I'm looking around the room, and I'm like... Well, there's no columns, but there's a ledge. Got to get him the fuck over there. I hate that part because you have to herd these guys over to that ledge. It's very annoying to do.
And it's tough because you can't move very fast.
Yeah. No, exactly. So those fights take a long time. Now, here's the ability. Once you get him to the edge and do the move that normally would knock him off, you get pushed back across the room that you're in with him. He shapeshifts into the very first one. What was the name of that one? The Hunter.
Well, the first one.
It depends on which one
you go through, but yeah.
The Hunter was my first one, the one I enjoyed fighting the most.
Yeah, the Hunter. He shapeshifts into the Hunter. And so you have to fight the Hunter, which I don't know if my skills were just down, if I just was sucking or whatever, but the only way I could beat him was to get him to the ledge and then push him off from there. Because there were a few times. I did it the first time, and that was not a problem. One of my next encounters with him, because you meet him like three times, I think, I took too long with him, and he shape-shifted back into the general. And again, I had to go through and get him to the ledge. There were some that was some of the annoyances. So, yeah, they're in there again, and yeah. So, it's worth it. It is seriously. Yes. What is it? 800 points?
I don't know. Tell me, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, it's seriously worth the 800 points. It was a lot of fun. Lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And when it opened up, when the scene opens up, it felt exactly like. Like a television series had gone off the air, you know, they had their season ender and their season opener on one of those serial type versions, a lot like, yeah. You know, like an Alias or like
Battlestar.
Sometimes Battlestar didn't start directly after.
Sometimes they did.
Sometimes they did. Yeah. But that's what it felt like. I was like, oh, this is so familiar and fun. Yeah, let's go. I'm ready. The controls came back to me. This was nice. Sometimes you get DLC way the fuck down the line of a game and you have no interest because you've forgotten the controls or whatever. Mm-hmm. This little time span was nice because they hadn't completely gone, and the controls aren't that hard to forget. I mean, they're kind of simple. Yeah.
It's a timing game.
So,
wonderful.
Definitely do that. Took me a while to beat, and you do get new skins. So, yeah, there you go. What else did I play? Oh, shit. I'm trying to go through. I'm trying to think. What else did I play? Burnout. With the toy cars. Oh, shit. I know. I thought I played something. Well, Hawks, we already talked about. I played Peggle.
Peggle!
Have you played Peggle,
I've
Jeremy?
I've never played Peggle.
You've never played Peggle either?
No.
This is weird, because I thought everybody had played Peggle except me.
He's going to try to sell you some other shit now. Just make sure he's got another
$5 in his pocket or whatever.
It's PopCap, Ben, you know, Bejeweled and all that other great stuff.
See, I don't
that they
like
make.
Bejeweled. That's some bookworm. All the fuck over some bookworm.
Zuma.
That was Dana.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah.
It wasn't me. I ain't got no near Zuma. It's too much like. It was one of those things. Mm-hmm. Bookworm, obviously. Like, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
really good shit. I'd play that forever.
Then you may not like. Okay, I downloaded the demo of Peggle because I wasn't sure. I was like, you know, this has been on PC for a long time, a lot of people playing it. A lot of people like it, but they are PC players, so maybe this console version is not really going to... Because I had no idea what Peggle was. Mm-hmm. I had no clue. So I downloaded the demo, and I played the first level. And for anybody that's never played Peggle, then keep listening. For those that have, you're going to hear a first-timer's description of what Peggle is. we're not going to go anywhere near Nobi Nobi Boy in that description. I explained this to James earlier. Peggle reminds me a lot of Plinko. From Price is Right. The board is filled with pegs, basically. And you have 10 shots to clear all the orange-colored pegs off the board. The majority of the pegs on the board are blue, and then there's some special ability pegs that if your ball hits, it activates a power, that sort of thing. But you got to clear all the orange pegs off the board. Each time your ball bounces through the pegs and all, it makes its way down to the bottom. Mm-hmm. Once it's made its way down to the bottom, the pegs you touched get erased. And so you get more open chances to hit, you know, other pegs that you got to take out. So you get 10 shots to do this. There's certain power-ups that you get. And I'm playing it, and I'm like, okay, I can kind of understand this. This is great. Well, I get down to my last peg on the board, my last orange peg that I have to hit. My ball's doing its little bouncing around, and it did something I didn't expect it to do, which was charm the shit out of me. The ball gets closer to that orange peg, and the screen, like, zooms in on that thing and gets very dramatic and slows the action down as the ball's about to hit the peg. And once it hits the peg, it explodes with Beethoven's, like, Ninth Symphony or whatever it was. You know the thing at the end of Die Hard?
Right, hey, it wasn't at the end of Die Hard. It was when they broke the, you know, electromagnetic lock. On the thing, and it opened up.
That's right, that's right, that's right, yeah.
Learn to fucking die hard.
But yeah, it did that, and I thought, that's great. I'm buying your game. I'm going to buy your game. And so, yeah, I just thought that was beautiful. I just thought that was great. I was like, right. You know. And so, yeah, it charmed me, and I downloaded it at 7 o'clock. I didn't stop playing until about 9:45. Mm-hmm. Then I played it again around 1. And didn't stop until about 2:10. That's why I'm very tired this episode. That's why I'll probably be tired tomorrow, because I'll go home and play some more. But yeah, so I really, really like... I liked Peggle. I really did. So I downloaded the Maw episode, but I haven't played it yet. So
I'm looking forward to doing that.
I downloaded the Maw the same time I downloaded Peggle, and well, I just told you what happened. So
yeah.
I'd forgotten I even downloaded that episode of the Maw after I started playing that game. So anyway, that's what I played, and it was a lot of fun. So I plan to play on more Peggle this weekend. Play some Burnout again. They released the boost cars today. The releases that are coming from Burnout are just like 1, 2, 3 here. I thought it was going to be spread out over the entire year, but it seems to be just coming one right after the other with these releases. So looking forward to that island getting released pretty soon. But that and Resident Evil and Halo Wars and Hawks will be what I've been playing this weekend. Yeah. So
we'll fly spaceships.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still going to try and play that shit I checked out at Gamefly that I still haven't played.
What?
Tenchu and Little Big Planet.
No.
Best of luck.
Gamefly just sent me Mad World.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
All right.
I've heard a thing or two about that.
Yeah.
You should play it.
I'm totally. Yeah. I'm
going to. Don't act like just because it shows up from Gamefly, you're going to play it. I know too well that, like, a lot of times things are like, put it in. Yeah, okay, loading screen, you're going back. Like, sort of just pass the Gamefly envelope over your gaming console.
See it? There we go. Right. Go back.
Like vermouth over a martini glass.
Yeah.
You know, last week we talked about arcade games and asked people to, you know, what their three, if they could have a cocktail, a stand-up, and a sit-down would be. I'm going to go through those real quick.
Have at it.
All right.
Yeah.
It's surprisingly diverse, and while there are a lot of things that I had forgotten about it. You know, I saw a lot of stuff where I was like, oh, yeah, that's a damn good idea.
Yeah, some of them I had to look up. There were a few because I weren't familiar with it all. But
like, on the whole, it didn't change my mind about anything at all.
Yeah.
I'm still, you know, I'm kind of where I was with the Dragon's Lair and the...
There's a lot of people did the Miss Pac-Man for the cocktail. I thought it was kind of cheating, putting the two in the combo thing. But,
whatever, and it was a legit thing. So
it is,
you can lay your hands on one of those. Feel free to kick some ass that way.
So Keith emailed us and said his cocktail would be Miss Pac-Man, stand-up would be NBA Jam, and sit-down would be the Star Trek Vector game. I don't think I ever played that one.
No, I didn't play that.
And he also threw in a pinball machine. So I thought...
Other than me, but yeah.
Yeah, he would want the Baywatch pinball machine. Did you ever play that?
No.
No? Me either, but...
Oh, yeah. I need to talk to Keith. Is it Keith?
Keith, yeah.
Yeah, I need to talk to Keith.
All right.
Really? Baywatch?
Baywatch.
You got two different Indiana Jones tables, and you want Baywatch?
Boy, man, I mean, you know, if the table's quality, then the table's quality.
Well, I do have to give him that credit. I've actually never played the Baywatch table.
Well, then shut up.
So you don't even know what you're criticizing. There you go. Laughing Penguin, the Miss Pac-Man Galaga combo for the cocktail. A four-player game, probably X-Men as a stand-up, and sit down either Crazy Taxi or Virtual On.
Yeah, Crazy Taxi is a good choice.
Yeah, Virtual On's a good choice. Yes,
Virtual On just got officially announced for Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah, I'm all over that. Dangerous Days, Upright would be Defender, Cocktail would be Donkey Kong, Sit Down would be Star Wars. Restless.
Now, didn't Matt say his sit down or his cocktail would be Donkey
he
Kong? And
Donkey
we were kind of like,
yeah,
that's an odd choice.
Really? Yeah, hey, there you go.
Restless Avengers, Upright would be Dungeons and Dragons, Shadow over Mystara. I had to look it up, but I remember playing that. It was a side-scrolling kind of beat-em-up with RPG elements.
Hmm.
I remember you picked from, like, Dwarf or some big, tall, skinny girl, and you picked up, you know, shields and weapons and got spells and stuff. It was actually pretty fun. But I'd forgotten about it. Cocktail would be Galaga, Sit Down, Hydro Thunder. Yeah,
yep.
I totally agree
clearly,
with Hydro
like,
Thunder,
clearly
man.
Right there, man.
Mm-hmm. Returner, Upright, Street Fighter 4. Might as well shoot for the moon.
Hey!
why not?
Hey, you know what? It's got a better control scheme than the home consoles do.
Yeah. Sit down, Ferrari F355.
Uh-huh.
Cocktail, Donkey Kong. Another Donkey Kong.
Wow.
John Perkins, 21. Upright, Golden Tee 2K. Really?
Hey, man, I know some guys.
Yeah?
Like, I know some people that are all about some Golden Tee.
All right.
So, like,
I forgot about Golden Tee.
Really?
I've never played it, but I, you know, you always see it over there, and you're like, God, are you going to put an arcade and you put Golden Tee in here? I don't want to play that.
You want to know something that you don't want to know?
What?
I always think about, like, you know, really inappropriate things anytime I hear the name Golden Tee. Because tea rhymes with pee, and there you go.
There you go, yeah.
I can't help it.
I thought it was just me.
No.
All right.
Is that a Japan game?
Right.
Oh, moving on. His cocktail would be Tapper. You guys remember Root Beer Tapper?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tapper, I got it on Xbox Live Arcade.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that was on Xbox Live Arcade. The sit-down cockpit game would be Initial D. And I remembered that after he posted the link to the video.
The video. I watched the video of that, where that thing rises up and it's all...
It, like, moves the seat around from the top.
You know? Yeah.
So, it really... I played it one time, probably at... I don't know where. But I was badass. So, yeah. Good choice. Dark Prince, upright Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Galaga Pac-Man for the cocktail, and Star Wars for the sit-down. Nanji, upright either Dragon's Lair or Space Ace. Cocktail, Miss Pac-Man Galaga. Sit down, do the Battletech simulators count? You're damn right they do.
They sure do.
Pomeroy, upright is Mortal Kombat 2. Cocktail, Donkey Kong. Sit down, Jurassic Park Lost World. Phil.
Jurassic Park Lost World had the gun, I believe.
I think you're right.
Yeah,
it had the gun.
Yeah. Phil, who I'm guessing must have grown up in Japan based on his choices here. Upright is Gal's Panic S3. That's one of those Quicks Likes games where you uncover the picture of the girl. Mm-hmm. Cocktail, he says he's never seen one of those. Sit down with Scud Race, which is the Japanese game name of one of the Sega racers. I forget off the top of my head what
don't
that
have
was.
Cocktails in Japan.
Sega Super GT. That's what it was known as over here. Boratika, upright Bubble Bobble. That's a good one. Cocktail Donkey Kong, sit down Tokyo Wars.
Nice. That's a good choice.
Bio SC1. Upright, he says he's torn between Bubble Bobble and a Neo Geo cabinet. Warlords for the cocktail. Man, I love some Warlords.
There you go.
Man, that's a good one. Nobody else
good
said
choice,
that.
Good choice, good format.
Yeah. And for sit down, Scud Race. Green Mag, upright, Raiden 2, and he says he's actually got the board without the cabinet or controls.
Huh.
And Raiden's one of the ones I'd really like to have, so yeah. Cocktail, Miss Pac-Man, sit down, APB, and he said he used to have
dude,
it.
I was thinking about that before he posted it.
I had to look that up, man, that sounds awesome. I never played that.
Holy shit, that was a great game.
You actually pull people over and give them tickets and arrest them, and apparently... beat the crap out of them if they...
Yeah, it was weird, and it was like you're driving around this like little cop car, and like you had like a little target out in front of you, and like there'd be a bunch of hippies riding around in a, you know, in like a freaking convertible or something, like throwing trash out onto the highway because that's what hippies do apparently. I don't know. And you like target them and, you know, hit the ticket button or something like that. Like, I don't remember it clearly, but I remember like, gotta meet my quota.
That's awesome.
It's a fucking great game.
Love
man.
I gotta find that now.
It really was a lot of fun.
I gotta play that. WilkZ07, upright T2 the arcade game.
I remember that. I'm telling you, I spent like $20.
Yeah.
I blew like a whole 20 up.
Played the shit out of T2.
Deciding that I was gonna go like, I'm just gonna blow Skynet up this time. That's all I'm doing.
Right.
So I'm just gonna like, I don't want to have to like run to the coin machine during the 20-second countdown.
Yeah.
Oh, like, God.
You know,
those were the
lots
those
of bad
the tense. Those were the
that.
Most tense moments when you had to get more change when that thing was counting down. I don't care what game it was. That thing's counting down. It's like, oh shit! I gotta go get some more quarters. Yeah. Don't press this button. It makes it speed up when you hit that button. Don't do that because that was your big concern. You're like, some dickwad is gonna come over here, see that countdown, and just tap tap tap, and get that shit off of there. And I'm gonna be, oh God, that was
fuckers.
Tense.
Yeah.
His cocktails, Miss Pac-Man, and sit down. I never saw this, but this sounds interesting. San Francisco Rush, The Rock Alcatraz Edition.
That was like another part of the 2049 series.
Okay.
Yeah, I know exactly the one he's talking about. It had it combined San Francisco Rush 2049, and it also combined like an expansion pack, which was Alcatraz. So you could pick. It's like you want to race in San Francisco streets, or you want to race on Alcatraz.
Well, Alcatraz, man.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I remember that one. So I knew exactly what he was talking about.
Duke Frugum mentioned Time Crisis 2 as an upright and the Star Wars trilogy sit down. Didn't say anything about a cocktail, though. But yeah, Time Crisis. That was some fun. Total says upright either Street Fighter 4 or Top Skater. And yeah, man.
Top Skater's another one I was thinking of mentioning. Yeah. That was really good.
What was Top Skater?
Yeah, he stood on a skateboard.
Okay, then that's what I figured.
It's
like,
where you like, held onto the bars.
Yeah, and it had
the skateboard. Fully articulated skateboard.
They did one for snowboarding, didn't they?
Maybe they did. I don't know.
I never saw it. Or anything. But yeah,
he'd kick the little thing on the back to make him flip up and do the stuff.
No, Top Skater was all the rage amongst the kids and whatnot down at the mall.
Yeah.
A number of years ago.
Cocktail Arknoid and sit down either Pod Racer, which is a good choice, or Sega Rally Championship with the cage that moves you. I'm a fan of being moved around.
Yeah, so. It's the motion sit downs that were always fun.
Yeah,
Afterburner and whenever just kind of anything. Afterburner I think was probably one of the first that only had like left and right, and then they got really creative after a while, and it's like, oh, we'll move you in all sorts of directions and shake the thing for you and whatever else. So I always loved those that were trying to immerse you into it more so than just sitting down and pressing a gas pedal and driving.
And then the last one is Might Be. For his upright, he went with DDR. Miss Pac-Man Galaga for the cocktail. And for the sit-down, I had never seen this, but talk about shooting for the moon. He picked Derby Owners Club, which is apparently like 12 or 16 seats or something.
Oh, I saw that damn
like
thing.
That. Yeah.
What a great punctuation of that list.
We'll see. He's thinking really good because what was it, Daytona USA?
Yeah.
When it's got the eight.
That's pretty hot.
Yeah.
That is nice.
No, it's a good thing, and I liked that list. I liked everybody participating in it because it really shows you that like there's a lot of good crossover.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a lot of good choices. I mean, there's things in there that came, second or maybe third choice to me, but we're talking by such a narrow margin.
Right, right.
That I would, choose some of the things that I chose, it'd be very easy for me. If I was forced to supplement something else, it'd be like, okay, sure. And also that there really was such an amazing variety of things for people to enjoy. Like, it really was more of a variety than you even remember.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a good list. I enjoyed walking through that. I will say, though, that if I could specifically have the Hydro Thunder machine from Dave & Buster's, That had the drink holder, the ashtray, and the little toggle switch that called over the waitress to bring me more scotch.
And the waitress, I'm assuming, right?
Like, that was pretty swank. Like, if it came with that, I was like, holy shit. Pretty great.
Oh, man.
So that was fun. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, anything to touch upon in the news other than Batman?
I mean, there's very little. I got to say, have you seen the new Batman Arkham Asylum trailer?
I have not.
We got some gameplay now. All I'm saying is, it's really coming into focus, what this game is. There's fucking Splinter Cell all over the place in that demo. Like, it's all about, they're really, really emphasizing the remain unseen, the stealth approach. But not in the way that sort of annoys you in other games. It's simply make like Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Hang out in the shadows and then do some weird shit where you hang upside down and grab a dude inside of your cape wings, which is sort of weird, except that you're Batman and that's what you do. So. What you do with him after that point, I don't know. I suppose we'll find out. But damn good looking thing. Like, more and more and more. I'm really appreciating what appears to be happening in that game.
Mm-hmm.
So
Bioshock 2.
Big Sisters.
That's
all we know.
That's it.
Speculating on cover art right now.
Magazine totally.
Cover art at that.
Totally.
And it's Game Informer, so it's like, you're going to get this in a year. We're totally going to put something on the cover that isn't even going to happen for 13 months.
I've still got my Assassin's Creed issue
in
the floor of my closet somewhere. And I look at it from time to time. I'm like, yeah, I remember it. We got that in March. Yeah. Of the year it came out, so.
Yeah, I occasionally pass by the Uncharted one, where what's-her-name is still a brunette.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they like to do. I mean, it's really nice. I like getting the early scoops, but Jesus, man, like, you're killing me here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was it. You know, there's some other stuff. There's just a few things happening, but wasn't a huge week. It was just more a week about playing games.
It really was. All these games releasing and all these co-op games releasing.
I'll take it.
Definitely. Especially, I think this time of year last year, we were complaining about not having anything to play. We're like, oh, crap, they loaded it all in the holiday, and now we've got nothing to do.
We're looking forward to a couple of things. This time around, there's lots. There's plenty going on, and there's plenty still to do at this point. So,
tons.
I think we're off to do some of that.
Yeah.
I got spaceships to fly.
I got pegs to...
Goal.
Hit. Yeah. I got Beethoven to listen to. Nice. And what are you going to do? Yeah. I got Beethoven to listen to. Nice. And what are you going to do?
I haven't decided yet. I probably pop Tenchu in first. Just to get it out of the way.
All right.
Move on from there.
I hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget, you can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net, and we will see you next week.
Strong together, united for it, for the Watchmen.
Now is the leader, and he loves to party down. Rorschach's friends to the animals.
Yeah, when he's not clowning around.
Why nutty?
Beat up some thugs, say no to drugs, be in bed by 10. But if trouble's about, you'd best watch out for the Watchmen.
Spectre's a sensation, you should really never miss her. The comedian's your biggest fan now.
If I could only get that kiss.
OZM, you bastards, couple of crime solving superstars. John can give you cancer, and I'll turn into a car.
Strong together, united forever, come and meet your friends. Have no fear, time's up, time's here, for the Watchmen.
Watch out.
Do we want to talk about Watchmen?
No.
Okay. I was recording it anyway, just in case you decided.
Well, I mean, you and I have got our thing. I just, we'll say that, you saw what Hader posted.
I did.
I didn't.
It's interesting. You should read it. It's interesting.
Okay.
I didn't really have any reaction to it because I'm clearly not the intended target. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It was basically, I don't know, man. It was like some kind of anti-fanboy missile.
Okay.
That he launched. And he was basically pleading the film's case.
Huh.
Some people got upset over it. I had no problem with what he said.
No. Everybody, a lot of people have now decided that he's just a dick for doing it. And he kind of postured like a dick, but, like, I don't know, man. I really need to be honest about the fact that I don't think enough people are dicks in the world. I really, really don't. I think clearly what is now defined as dick is like simply really, really strongly asserting your point of view over someone else's. And all points of view are competitive. Like, some survive, some don't. You know, that's part of the argument. You don't want to get into the typical forum bullshit of like what adds value to an argument or a logistical or a logical, stance or what detracts from any of these things. So whatever, man. But like sometimes, like, I don't know, man, if you're not being called a dick, then I don't think you're trying hard enough. That's just how I feel sometimes. Like, you know, seriously, I'm the kind of guy who's really glad Russell Crowe threw that phone at that guy. Russell Crowe's a huge dick because you just threw a phone at some guy. You know what? I bet you any amount of money that guy was being a fucking horse's ass because he's like, hey, this is Russell Crowe. And, like, he has to deal with my shit. I've seen the way a paparazzi acts, and I've seen the way people are really presumptuous with other people's time. And whether a celebrity deserves it or not, I don't give a fuck. If I was Russell Crowe, I'd have chucked that fucking phone. I'm sorry he didn't really hurt the guy, you know? Like, because I'm sure he deserved it, whatever the case was. I'm just saying, sometimes, like, being a dick ain't all that bad.
Yeah. I
love respected in some people. Yeah. So if Hader postured a little bit like that and sort of was a little bit aggressive toward another point of view, I can see not liking that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same point, I think it's really good to see him, not the director, not any of the stars, but like a guy who is a little bit more removed from I don't know, he's a step or two behind from the whole thing.
Yeah, no, I understand.
The part he played. I was like, eh, again, I'm not the target, so I don't know.
But it was that next to, it was that last little paragraph that he loved. He's like, you know, you'll think about this film.
You'll
after
come back
you see
to it.
It. Yeah. And
it'll stay with you and you'll come back to it. I mean,
but it was that part where he says, and for Jackie Earle Haley.
Oh, I missed go that.
To
I
the
what the hell was that talking about?
You I have mean, to go not, to the bottom of it.
Again, I don't think any of it particularly matters, because I think one of the worst things you can possibly do is, I read the book. I loved the movie. I didn't love the movie for its relationship to the book. I got the book on my shelf. The book's still great. Even after I went and saw the movie, the book is still precisely what it was. And, you know, the same way that I thought the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was a shitty adaptation of the book, it still wasn't a terrible movie. And you know what it did? It sent people back to the book.
Mm-hmm.
It sent kids to the book. And you can say what you want about...
When that got released, when Harry Potter gets released, you walk into a bookstore and there's that one table that is stacked with whatever it is on that. I understand.
It's cyclical. It can send you back to the source material. I know to some degree your perception of events as they're supposed to be charged by your own imagination.
Whatever it is on that. I understand.
It's cyclical. It can send you back to the source material. I know to some sort of building these images from something. God, what a horrible argument to have. I'm not even trying to do that. All I know is, and I've said this before, I am, and I'm more proud of this fact as time goes on. I will never see the twist coming. I will never know who did it. I will never, ever outsmart the film. And I'm almost never thinking about it.
Yeah, no, totally.
I don't do it. I love my books. And for the most part, I really love going and seeing an adaptation of them. And I've gotten to a point where not only do I not mind the differences, I had damn well better see them. Because in most cases, I don't think you should even try to make the source material. And this is where I basically agree that Watchmen was an impossible task. He couldn't do too heavy-handed an adaptation. Even being someone who doesn't mind those sorts of things, mm-hmm. I kind of see it. I'm like, you really can't step too far away from what this is. It's too much its own thing.
Yeah.
You don't need to go in there and muck around. However, you will never make this book. It will not happen. You cannot do it.
Mm-hmm.
So don't try. Make a movie of it. I feel like I watched one of the most amazing feats of tightrope walking ever.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. And you and I both went into it the same way. Like, we've experienced the source material. We were really big fans of it.
End was changed. We knew the end was going to be different. We did not know how.
Questioned how everything was going to be fit in. And I know what I was doing. I know 3 minutes into the movie, I was smiling like an idiot.
Yeah.
Because that's the most amazing credit sequence I've ever seen.
Man, as soon as Dylan's song pops in, I thought,
it's all happening.
Is perfect.
Look at
and
all these answers that are appearing.
While I mentioned Dylan's song, let me say this. That music worked for me.
The music really worked.
I'm tired of seeing these complaints about, the music was horrible. Fuck. I'm sorry. Everybody has these are very subjective. For me, the music was not at all.
And a lot of it really was there in the comic or in the book as
a lot of it was.
Humanly possible. And let's be honest about another thing. There are books have options that movies do not. They can be really breathy. They can stage scenes in a different way, and they can devote a lot of time to straight, you know, oratory if they choose, and have it work in a much better way. They can add in, to whatever degree you know you want to identify with it, as stage direction or commentary aside or flashback or internal monologue or any of these things. Movies don't necessarily work too well in that regard. So you've got a different set of plot devices, a different set of tools. You got a different utility belt on when you're making a movie than when you're writing a book. And you have to just sort of allow for these things to happen. Sometimes you didn't hear this music necessarily when you were reading the book, even if it was indicated that at this point you should.
Yeah.
So hearing it for real, it can be a little bit jarring when you chose not to accept that this would be there. But you need to allow for different tools to be brought to bear on the situation. You need to allow for the fact that you're much more passive It's a much more passive experience in the theater. You just need to let it wash over you, roll over you like a fucking wave, and carry you along. That's what the film is about. It doesn't need you. All it needs is your eyes and your mind and your heart. It needs you to sit there, eat your fucking Junior Mints or whatever. That's my own personal thing. Drink your soda, and like, be there in the moment and accept the moment. And you have to do that, particularly because you just paid... You just blew a hole in a $20 bill to do this. Why are you fighting this? Why are you trying to cheat yourself out of your money? Yeah. Do what it wants to do. And then if you hate it, go back to the forum with everybody who hates the thing, or go back and read and cherish the original work, and at least know that the worst case scenario is that it's a total lie of the original work, but that it's still going to send people toward it. You know, that it's still going to vector people towards the reason that it existed in the first place.
Right.
How many times, I mean, you know, like, we've got a handful of adaptations of Dune. You know what it does? It makes people read Dune.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's a good thing. The adaptations are wildly different.
After I saw Jurassic Park, I read the book.
Yeah, I read it, I read it before. And I thought the movie was like, I was like, oh, this is a piece of shit turd, because the book was far more interesting. But then I think about, this was when I was very young.
Yeah.
I was just in college when that came out. So, again, I was at that age where I was like, I have to compare it to the source material. And really, you know, it's a good thing you say that, because that was around the time when I started learning, like, it's not necessarily a good idea to do this.
There was another one I did that with was The Green Mile, a couple of Stephen King stuff.
Oh, God, I never did that with Stephen King stuff.
I only did it with The Green Mile. I'm trying to think of where else I've done it, where I've seen the movie and I want to go back and read the book, or heard they were making a movie of a book, and I'm like, let me go read the book. I don't know why I do that to myself. It's like,
because you have to make a choice. You've got an opportunity to take one of, to be in one of two states, to create the book, to populate the book's world for yourself with your own imagination. Before you see casting photos, before you see production stills, any of that, before you see the movie, you have an opportunity to do that. And then to compare your natural understanding to the adaptation. If you do not, you will never be able to do that. You will never, ever be able to see that thing for yourself. It will be what you saw in the film. Just, it'll be at least informed by it, and maybe you don't want that. It's a neat thing, and you can never unhave that. You know? So, but that's a good reason to do it. And it doesn't have anything to do with purity. Doesn't have anything to do with this sanctimonious bullshit about the original form. It's just, whatever. It's better. You'll never get the opportunity to create it for yourself.
Well, talking about casting, this was a...
It was really well cast. That was something we were worried about.
Yeah, totally.
And there were, you know, there were some issues. And you can say what you want about the acting. I know a lot of people were all over, I can't remember, she played Lori.
I don't remember her name.
I realized that I thought she was... I did not like her. And then I realized that she was actually perfect. Because the degree to which I didn't like her and the particular kind of dislike I had, my sort of, like, sneering ambivalence toward her, was precisely the same reaction I had to the character in the book. And I was like, oh, never mind. You've done a great job.
You're making me feel for this character exactly what I felt in the book.
You're basically there for a lot of other people. Your comedian's redemption. Your John's connection to what were his people.
Yeah.
You ground John, but you elevate Dan.
You're Dan's Viagra.
Yeah. And by elevating Dan, you give Rorschach someone to talk to.
Yeah.
Like, so clearly that's your only role, you know? Like, you yourself are not terribly interesting, but that's okay. You don't have to be. That's an important... No, I'm serious.
Because the fact that you're not very interesting is the key component as to why all these other things happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, it's... And I thought in that case it was really good. I'm not someone that ever really... over-analyzed Watchmen to any degree. I was fascinated by its characters, though. I thought that they were really linked together in interesting ways. So to watch them sort of move around in this kind of complex, interconnected thing of, like, you know, this guy sort of buttressed this guy, but not in any way you would see necessarily. And this guy was totally the foil to this guy, even though they weren't necessarily enemies or friends. Mm-hmm. It was just sort of where they fit into stuff, you know? I liked it, and I'm not usually character-obsessed. I'm usually more plot-obsessed. And it wasn't in this. And yeah, there were some issues, you know, and it took Dana to see it because she'd never read the book, and I really wanted her opinion. And it was good, and we talked, and it's definitely thoughtful, definitely provocative without being...
Is someone who doesn't know the backstory, is that opening credit sequence just as...
She liked it a great deal.
Okay.
For anybody, even... It was very information dense. I'll say that.
Yeah.
So if you've seen it, certainly go look on the internet for all the stuff that you didn't catch.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah.
The Last Supper, I was like, that's so
fucking
obvious. Oh, no,
no. Oh, God. I mean, it was very obvious to begin with, particularly given... It was inverted, obviously, since, you know, Sally is in the Christ position, mm-hmm. and Comedian is in the, you know, oft-considered Mary Magdalene position.
Mm-hmm.
Or the whoever, you know, the...
Yeah, no, I
never... And then you've got, like, it was the business happening off in the corner with... It was a Dollar Bill and Masked Hooded Justice?
Captain Marvelous, I think.
Yeah. They were having a little thing, and I was like, I totally didn't see that. How great for them, you know? Because they were being very blatant with the silhouette love affair off on the other side. And just wonderful. Like, just wonderfully dense, rich... thing, a really great way to sort of judo the backstory in there.
Brilliant.
With a minimum of effort, but a maximum.
We were wondering how the hell they were going to do that.
And you know, like, you watch it all.
You
and
do it with a song.
like any movie, there was a lot of stuff wrong. There were a number of gaffes that obviously I went back and looked up. And some of it's very clear to the original material. Some of it's direct, like Rorschach's journals and things mm-hmm. like that. It's whatever it is. Nonetheless, it was a good movie. Obviously, every one of us is going to revisit this when it comes out on DVD.
Fuck, yeah.
I thought my problem with it, if I could be said to have had a problem with it, is that I felt that Rorschach, who everybody will agree is like the coolest dude, you know, in the history of guys who like stink and put on masks and old trench coats, he was diminished somewhat in this story. In the book, he took up a bigger chunk of time.
Yeah.
You know, he was a little more central to things. And the movie sort of brought him down to the same size as everyone else. And that's not necessarily a bad thing for the film. I liked it. I really cherish the differences. I think they're really important. Kind of tells us... It's not just about what The Watchmen was, because The Watchmen is and was... There it is. It's the book. Read the book mm-hmm. and have your opinions. But it was also a thing of its own time, you know? And I'm sorry, you know, you refract it through a 20-year-old lens, and this movie is kind of what you come out with.
Yeah.
So it's so completely worthy of what it is. And I'm not sure that you can ever make someone happy that wants a complete, like, wants a really true thing. And, like, I want to feel from the movie what I felt from the book. Well, holy shit, is that impossible? Like, really? Like, that's not... Mm-hmm. It's not possible, man. Like, I don't know. I just feel like we do a disservice.
The thing is, I can never go back. You can never go back to your first time.
Yeah.
You know, you try to. That's why you keep doing it, because you're like, I want to pull that experience in again and have that initial...
It's no mystery why you want to do that.
Yeah, exactly. You're not watching... Like watching a film like Fight Club the second time, that effect that you had when that twist came around, you're like, it's not going to affect you like it did the first time. You hope like hell it does, because you were loving that when it happened. But you know, the experience is somewhat diminished, but you go in, I guess, to appreciate everything else. But yeah, I really liked it. So,
no, I just thought it was.
That's something you should do, Jeremy, this weekend. Let's go see it.
I'm planning on seeing it, maybe not this weekend, but maybe this week.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, it's very good.
It's late in the week, so yeah, maybe this weekend.
Actually, it's kind of impossible for it not to be this weekend, I suppose, at this point.
Yeah, I guess so.
No, it's just good.
So it'll probably be next week then, because I'm not going on the weekend to the theater.
Sunday morning, dude.
Sunday morning first showing?
I saw it.
Hey, you know, you're right.
That shit was like...
Be a good time.
Dead as hell, dude.
All right.
And that was opening weekend.
Yeah.
The second weekend, so.
All right.
Yeah, and it's a good thing. So, like, jumping all the way back to what Hader said, I won't say I'm 100% in agreement, because I don't have the same... I'm not invested to the same degree that he is. And I'm certainly not trying to, like, make the same point the same way. But I do a lot of times get a little irate because I think as fans, and we have a Jesus, can we ever bring a bunch of like moral like indignation to bear on a subject? Us fans. I think we do a disservice to adaptations a lot of times. I think we lose sight of the fact that the whole point is to interpret it in a different way. Not necessarily wildly different, but if you have not interpreted it, if it is not grown by its association with a different medium, then I think you've actually failed. You know? The thing itself is unchanged, as long as mm-hmm. it's maintained and archived and, you know, as long as there are grimy, you know, coffee-stained, cigarette-burned, dog-eared copies of Watchmen laying around and, you know, people have their memories of having read it, you know, the first time, then the second, then the third, or whatever, you know, whatever copies of Watchmen laying around and, you know, people have their memories of...
A theater episode, keep circulating the tapes.
Yeah.
That's all, that's the best part is like, hey, you guys, because they knew the fans out there were trading the tapes. Hey, guys, just keep doing it, you know? Just keep it going, regardless of what happens to us. Keep that stuff going around so people will continue to see this and you guys will enjoy it.
And well, like, and again, it's just a place I've come to with things. Mm-hmm. You know, I try to have it both ways, and I totally think you can. You know, and I think it has a lot to do with your own where you are in your own love of things. You know, whether you need to see it reflected perfectly, whether you feel other, you know, and I don't know. People say that, you know, I feel like people who never read the book are missing out because of this movie. Well, even if it was perfect to the book, they're still fucking missing out because they still haven't read the book.
Yeah.
If you haven't read the book, you're missing out on the book regardless of what the movie is. You know, the movie could have been made of Muppets.
You know, it'll be interesting.
And you're still missing out on the book.
It would be interesting to see somebody go watch the movie first. Someone like Dana, watch the movie first, then go to the book and say, wow, I like the movie's ending better. Whereas, you know, people who read the book first, well, like, wow, I like the book.
I think it's
better.
A mistake to view the ending. You can't just view the ending as the ending.
Mm-hmm.
The whole reason that the book ending made sense is because there's some context to it.
There's a little bit of lead up to it,
and they sort of teach you to accept that ending in the context of how the story was told in the book.
Mm-hmm.
In the movie, it's like, man, we don't have the time to get you comfortable with what the fuck we're going to literally lay on you at the end of this. So we're going to use the tools at hand. And we're going to do like a little bit of, you know, fucking, you know, scriptural ledger domain, like a little bit of sleight of hand. And like, they did. That was a tough trick. To sort of maintain the emotions generally, but do what they did. It was good. I mean, it wasn't earth shattering, but it was all right. Yeah, I'm totally buying that.
Yeah,
good on you. You know, keep it up. I say good work. I think it was a good thing.
Yeah, I got thumbs up from me on this.
And
one,
casting,
so.
Like I said, it was just good. Everybody did such a really good job. Some people stepping very far outside of the realm of what they usually do and not trying to be bigger than their characters. So,
well, it's like I said the other day, really, like, seriously, that. name me a big budget superhero film that didn't have people in it you didn't know.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, fuck, Superman had the new guy, Ruth,
yeah,
whatever, Ralph. and you know him. However, it had a very well-known director. It had a very well-known Spacey was in it.
Yeah.
And
it was a little asymmetrical.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
was very symmetrical.
Very.
I mean, what are you talking, like who's your lopsided mega talent in this? Billy Crudup? I mean, really. No, I mean, I'm not even being like, that's not even a jeer. It's just like, that's the worst you could say.
Yeah.
About being outside of like a typical range of what people like you and I would know.
Yeah,
I mean, my presence is often requested when Grey's Anatomy is playing, so I'm familiar with Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
His point being, he doesn't watch Grey's Anatomy. Yeah. He just
I eat dinner in front of Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, he happens to be in the same room when it's on most of the time.
That's a lie. I totally actually watched Grey's Anatomy. A little bit. So yeah, we felt how we want to feel about it. I'm not like counter angry at all the fanboys because man, I've been there. Like I know what it is to be pissed off at stuff. You know, I got a Star Wars tattoo on my leg. God damn it! And I had it before Episode 1 came out. How the fuck do you think that made me feel coming out of that theater? You want to talk about nerd rage? I've been able to summon it. You know, and I've still got like, you know, a really sore spot in my heart over that whole thing. Like I do. So I've got a really clear touchstone to those emotions. But at the same time, it is slightly different, and I just really try to look more towards the growth of a story than the... It's not holy fucking scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Let the man make a movie out of it, and let's try to let it be what it is, I think. Let's just try to enjoy it, for God's sake. Let's try to enjoy stuff.
Yeah.
Constantly, you know... Increasingly small number of things to be happy about in the world, like at a point like this, and particularly involving things you're going to spend money on.
Totally.
If you're going to drop $8 to $12 to see this, let's at least try to lie to ourselves and be happy about it. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Whatever.